is music from a new performance piece called Multimodal. And imagine this, it's a dance performance where you feel the sound and where the scent of memory is evoked, where members of the audience are guided by dancers through sonic and olfactory experiences. It's a collaboration between choreographer and dancer Lee Searle and sound artist Byron Scullin. The venue is the Substation in Newport in the inner west of Melbourne. And Lee and Byron join us now. Hello, thank you for joining us in Books and Arts.
Hi, great to be here. Thanks.
Lee, can you elaborate on my explanation of multimodal? Because there are several layers to the experience, I think.
Sure. So I'm kind of thinking of this as a performance ritual. And there's eight inductees, we're calling them. So randomly selected audience members that are led through a series of sonic olfactory object.
So it's not all the whole audience, it's just eight.
Just eight lucky members.
Right.
Yes, and they get led through these installations and they interact with them, and this feeds the work, and they are the generators of content and also sound, which Byron can talk more about. And they're led through into the main performance area, and they go through a series of experiences and are looked on by an audience of voyeurs.
So they, in a way, become part of their performers.
Yes, they are performers in the work as well. And the voyeurs are there to watch it all play out, watch the ritual happen. And so there's many different experiences that they go through in this work, and they are definitely part of the performance.
Now, just before we get on to more about the elements like sound, just tell us a bit more about the venue where multimodal is being performed, the Substation.
Yeah, so the Substation is in Newport. And
as I said, in the inner west of Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I'm using various spaces. There's galleries, a boardroom, the main space. So the audience really get to explore a lot of the building. And we've created the work in the Substation. So it's really made for this venue.
What is it? It's an old industrial space.
Yeah, it's an old industrial space. I think it's a
It's an old power substation.
Yeah. Right. That'd make sense, wouldn't it?
Exactly, yeah.
Byron, you're a sound artist. Give us some more detail about what the sonic experience is in multimodal.
Because the piece is called multimodal, there are many different sort of sonic experiences that people have throughout the work. There's a section in the piece where we use lots of small speakers, and the eight inductees have these speakers moved around their heads, and it's a little bit like a sort of surround sound massage, like a personalised surround sound experience. So rather than when we sit in the cinema and the sound sort of moves around through the speakers, here the speakers are actually manipulated over people's heads. There's another aspect to the piece where we use a type of sound recording called binaural recording. And binaural recording is essentially when we listen as human beings, we have, you know, our two ears on either side of our heads. And if we essentially place microphones where our ears are, we record sound in what's called a binaural kind of field of sound. And the only way to really experience a binaural recording is by putting headphones on. And so what happens is that in one section of the piece, an audience member wears a pair of binaural microphones, and then the other inductees and all of the audience wear headphones and experience things from their perspective. So
what are they experiencing?
So sonically, it's almost like you're standing in the other person's shoes. So you're hearing the sounds as they hear them from their perspective. And in terms of the sort of illusion of actually being in their shoes, it's very vivid. So a dancer would move around talking to this person wearing the microphones, and when you're wearing the headphones, you really feel as if they're passing behind you and in front of you. The illusion's like really quite convincing. And then there's another section in the piece where we use a lot of low frequency sound at very high volumes. And that's leading on from a work that I did at Dark Mofo in 2015 called Bass Bath, where essentially we use these very pure waveforms called sinusoidal waveforms.
Sinusoidal waveforms,
yeah,
marvellous.
Exactly. And it sounds very fancy, but essentially it's a very pure sound. So it's a frequency without any additional harmonics. It's just a very pure sound frequency by itself. And I use frequencies that are in the very lowest registers of human hearing. So humans can hear down to 20 cycles a second, which is the lowest sort of frequency that we perceive as a sound. And so I use basically sort of from about 20 to sort of 60 hertz, so kind of the bottom octave or so of human hearing. And these are produced through specific speakers called sub-bass speakers that are just designed to produce this stuff. So people would have experienced this if you've
ever... This is serious doof-doof.
It's serious doof-doof, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's the kind of low, low thumping frequencies. But I've always been fascinated by the power of that low frequency sound. Like when you go to a big concert or like a rock concert or whatever in a huge arena, the fact that the sound can really vibrate and shake the room, and these low frequencies really have the power to do that.
And enter your body. I mean, I love that feeling of sound in my body, that vibrating feeling, but I don't like very loud music.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So this is almost like this is a very pure kind of feeling in that way, so that these low frequencies, they don't have the harshness and the brashness of the upper frequencies, the kind that make you want to put your hands over your ears and block your ears. This is the very lowest frequencies, and they're very pure. And when we do it at this large volume, it just vibrates the air all around our bodies. And so Lee and I spent a lot of time at the substation, actually lying on the floor of the substation, and just slowly moving through all of these low frequencies and discovering how they vibrated in our bodies. So sometimes they'd vibrate the head, and other times they vibrate the chest or the stomach or the legs. And sometimes it feels like it's inside your body, and sometimes it feels like it's outside on the surface of your skin. So essentially we compose this piece of music that works like a piece of physical choreography on the bodies of the listeners, but it's all generated through sound. So it's this very pure physical experience of sound. And whilst it kind of has a threatening aspect to it because it's so loud and so low, the actual experience of it is quite therapeutic, you know. And that's what I found when I had originally done some of this work down in Tasmania, was that people would go into this environment and had to sign a waiver saying that, you know, they wouldn't sue Mona if, you know, they had hearing loss, and people would wear earmuffs and things like this. In this show, it's not quite as extreme as the version that I've done.
Yeah, I don't want to go to a show where I'm going to
sign a waiver. But and so the whole room shakes and vibrates and buzzes, but the actual experience of going through it is completely counterintuitive to that. So whilst on that,
well, you mentioned it was outside, quite therapeutic.
Yeah, it does. It has this almost very therapeutic kind of relaxing sensation because we kind of communing with these low frequency pure vibrations, and it's not an experience that, you know, people have at all, you know, very often. And in much of this work with Lee, I was very interested in exploring how could we give people some really unique sonic experiences, like other ways of perceiving sound or drawing attention to how we perceive sound in many ways, because it's such a subconscious act that we often just forget what we're actually listening to a lot of the time. We spend a lot of our time ignoring everything that we hear in many ways. Yeah, like most of what we hear is noise, you know.
Well, Lee, before we get on to a bit more about the movement and choreography, there's another sense that you're lighting up in this too, which is smell. What's the smell component in multimodal?
Yeah, well, I've been working with installation artist Liz Henderson, and she's just recently completed her PhD at Monash, and it's very much about scent-based installation and how it's considered a secondary scent and it's often forgotten about.
Yes, it's the forgotten sense.
Yeah.
That's what it's often referred to as smell. Yeah.
So I was really interested in how we can activate that.
How do you in this piece?
Well, through the installation rooms, there's various objects that are scented, and there's a lot of intense kind of scent through a lot of the various spaces.
What sort of smells?
Well, in one room there's a lot of star anise. Mm-hmm. In other objects there are different scents, like chocolate or almond, when in the pure essence form it doesn't actually smell like what it is. So they're quite ambiguous sometimes, and what you think about when you're smelling something can be very different to somebody else. It evokes different memory, recall, and things like that. So I was interested in how, in giving the audience the opportunity to experience, you know, olfactory within this work, how it can allow the performer to enter and watch and view the work differently, because their access to different memory is very different.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Lee, you're mostly based in the United States, I think, and the work that you do there is choreography of dances for film clips for people like Kanye West. This show, Multimodal, must feel worlds away from that kind of choreographic work.
It is, very much. The Kanye West thing, you know, is a bit of a, you know, anomaly in my work. I mostly choreograph, you know, contemporary dance. So that was something that came up very last minute, was very quick turnaround. Was a great experience of doing something, you know, in such a huge scale with such massive celebrities. So yeah, that was very, very different to what I usually do. This work, Multimodal, is much more in line with what my usual line of work is. Yeah.
Right. And with the choreography, is that set or is it improvised? How many dancers? How do they interact with your inductees from the audience?
Mm-hmm. So there's kind of a hierarchy within this performance, funnily enough. There's four main performers and then I have eight, as we call them, guides. So the four performers lead the inductees through all the installations, and their choreography and performance is set choreography, but it's also improvised in its structure. So they have a series of movements that can be ordered and reordered, and so every performance will be different. Whereas the guides have a very kind of strict choreography that they follow, and their role sometimes becomes quite functional, and they deal a lot with, you know, the small speakers that Byron was talking about and giving people headphones and all those sorts of things. So, you know, their choreography is very set. There are improvised parts to the work, but their instruction and, you know, the task that they've been given within that improvisation is very set.
And as a choreographer, why did you want to work with Byron, with this a sound artist for this piece?
Well, I was really wanting to use sound in a different way, in that the sound can be generated live and fed through into the performance. And I know that Byron has a history of doing this type of work, and particularly with Bass Bath that I'd heard about. And I was really interested in how the sound can become choreographic as well, and not just be sound to dance. And we got together, you know, I think it was a year and a half ago now, and Byron just brought in a whole bunch of things, synthesizers, small speakers, binaural microphones, and we just kind of played around. And initially my idea was that this was going to be a solo work, and then all these possibilities that Byron brought into it just expanded my mind, and I was like, this needs to be a larger work. And then it began with four people, and then now it's 12.
It sounds both very sensual and very nerdy, this show.
Yeah, it is.
I'm also intrigued as to how you rehearse a performance piece with so much improvisation in it and with audience members who are going to be part of the show. How do you do it, Byron?
Well, I mean, there's certainly an element of risk involved, you know, because like when you're drawing on audience members and you're kind of, I mean, really in many ways, it's by the grace of the audience that we can kind of do this sort of stuff. So we really relying on the audience members to give themselves over to the performance in some ways.
Are you?
We use trial audience.
Yeah. Right. So we call in friends and call in people that we know to work with us, and then we would sort of set a task like that might be, okay, well, let's take these speakers and manipulate them over a person like this, or let's put someone with the binaural mics in and then perform a series of choreography around them, and I would improvise the sound processing around the top of that. And then there was a lot of feedback given. So there was a lot of consultation that went into creating the work, and a lot of friends and collaborators coming in, experiencing what they went through, and then giving us that information. And largely that was then Lee would take that information and say, okay, well, like maybe we should shape this moment to work in this way, shape another moment to work in another way. So in that way, the kind of composition of the work overall was sort of this exchange between myself and Lee, the dancers and various volunteers, and this sort of open flow of communication between all of us, with Lee just kind of shaping the piece overall.
Mm, it sounds completely fascinating. Multimodal is at the Substation in Melbourne until Sunday the 4th of September. Details for it are on our website, so check that out. Lee Searle is the choreographer and Byron Scullin is the sound artist. All the very best with it, and thank you.
Thanks very much.
This is Books and Arts. I'm Amanda Smith.
Discover the best of RN on Facebook. Simply search for ABC RN.